I like him too. Great to be here, brethren, and great to have another beautiful Sabbath day. And the weather, of course, is absolutely beautiful. You can ride in a car with your heater on and you'd never know it was winter. So it's very good. But and this is an introduction to the second message today. But I want to go very quickly into just giving you a little bit of an intro to what the rest of the message will be about. Please turn with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you would. And I'm going to read a few verses here that Christ, as his manner and his way was, he was always sort of ahead of the game with what he was trying to communicate to those people around him. Sometimes it was not that clear, and then other times it was pretty clear. But it always provoked questions from his apostles, his students, his learners that were with him constantly for 3.5 years. But in this particular episode, we see that they were puzzled. They were inquisitive. So Matthew, the 7th chapter, we read in verse 15. And verse 15 represents a warning. A warning for those people back then, but a warning to us today as well. Because it is what it is, brethren. It really is. It says here in the first portion of this verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets, false teachers, brethren, people who have not been called to be vehicles through which God communicates his truth." And that represents essentially the religions of this world. It's not a condemnation of them, because there are many very, very sincere people, as we know, who are involved in religion. They try to do the best they can with what they have to do, but basically their prophetic message turns out to be false. It leads in another direction. And even in those days back then, almost 2,000 years ago, Christ was warning his disciples, and he was saying, look out, be careful, watch out, because you can easily be led astray by another voice, another communicator who claims to represent the living Jesus Christ. And he chooses who those people would be that would represent him. And then he works through them. And then the truth tends to line up. It tends to click. It comes together. It's provable. It makes sense. I can tell you, brethren, that somebody very close to me is involved in, you know, false Christianity, is quite caught up in it. And knowing the rationale or lack thereof of that particular religion, it doesn't add up and it doesn't make sense. And yet people are attracted to it. They think it's really appealing. I mean, it has some kind of an emotional attachment to it. It pulls you in. Well, Christ knew that, brethren. And he also knew very much so that his people need to be forewarned. They really do. We need to be forewarned. We need to be vigilant. We need to be on our guard for deviations from the truth, brethren, as they will come and go, especially living in the last days, because that is the time that we live in. And it's going to get worse, of course. Beware of false prophets, verse 15, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Brethren, they don't literally have sheep's clothing on, but symbolically they do, because they present themselves as representatives of Christ. Now, what you would do, brethren, what you could do in that particular situation, symbolically, you could say, well, I'm going to pull back the covering, and below the covering of that sheep, you're going to find a wolf. And that wolf, brethren, represents a danger. And it represents a danger to us, brethren. Christ is very particular, and he's jealous over his people. He really is. And he wants to be the one that is leading them in lockstep and so on. He doesn't want us to be led astray by wolves, you know, and so on. Continuing here, it says, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ravening wolves. And for some reason, brethren, the unconverted mind is determined to try to prove that it is right. And what it's saying, brethren, it is in saying, in essence, that God is not right, because the Bible is right. God is right. We humans are not right. We have to get in line with the Bible. We have to follow in lockstep with Jesus Christ and not get off, you know, in some other voice, some other appealing message, I guess you could say, following and going astray. Now, verse 16 is the one I really want to focus on, brethren, because it's the title of this message. And like I say, it's the introduction to the one I will be giving after the announcements. It says in verse 16, how do you tell? How can you tell, brethren? How can you tell the true church of God, the people of God, the ministers of God, the leaders of God? How can you tell? Brethren, when you get it right, when you have the truth, when it all comes together and starts to click together, as we say, it says here, you shall know them by their fruits. Where God is working, brethren, you will see fruit. Now, that doesn't say mean that, brethren, that we are a bunch of fruitcakes. I didn't mean to say that. You know, I mean, it's kind of like an insult. You're a fruit. Well, you must bear fruit, brethren. That's the whole thing. And God's people will. But there are certain keys to how that happens. It doesn't just happen. I mean, you don't just come into God's church, all of a sudden I'm bearing fruit. In other words, I'm producing positive qualities. There's substance there. There's something that's happening in my life. It automatically takes place. No, there are certain things that have to kick in order to bring it about. And I will be talking about that in a little bit too. I just want to whet your appetite a little bit, brethren, because Christ really does say that if you're looking for the true church of God, you're looking for where God's truth is, you will find the truth, but you're also going to find fruit, results, something positive, something good happening. And brethren, God's way of life is nothing but good. It's goodness, it's light. When we live God's way of life, we are blessed. We really are. And again, just a reminder, most everybody here went to the Feast of Tabernacles. Some were not able to, but most everybody here went to the Feast of Tabernacles. And you just feel like you went to a great big gathering to experience God's fruit, His way of life, something positive, something that injects energy in us, lifts our spirits, helps us to be in a very positive frame of mind. God's institution, His church, brethren, is an unusual institution or organization because really it does represent nothing but the best. It's all good. And so we have the opportunity, brethren, to experience that in this age as it comes to a close. We can rejoice. We can experience the benefits of living God's way of life. And we can have all of the good things of God right now. We're able to have it. We'll have our trials, of course we will. But again, we have that opportunity presented to us almost like a silver platter, handed to us, given. It's all give, brethren. Jesus Christ, God the Father, it's all about give with them. They want to give to their children all the good things that can be had from living His way of life. And I do want to go into that a little bit further after Dr. Moore gives the announcement. So I'll read a little bit further here in closing. It says, even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit. It does. That's verse 17. It brings forth good fruit. It says here, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. There is a dichotomy, brethren. There is a separation here. It's painting two pictures. One is the way of life, God's way of life. And the other is the way of the world. And there is a vast difference. One produces good fruit, all the things that are good. The other produces a lot of negative things, brethren, and a lot of heartache and a lot of disappointment. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. It's not going to do it. If we're living God's way of life, really and truly, there will be blessings, brethren, and we will be blessed, and we will exhibit and demonstrate good fruit in our lives. Verse 19, every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Ultimately, brethren, God has called us first, but he will ultimately call all of humanity to embrace his way of life and to show good fruit and to demonstrate that his way of life is right and true, and then be born into the kingdom of God. But in closing here, he says again, he reiterates the fact, draws their attention back to the fact. He says, verse 20, and he's not playing around, he's not kidding, he means what he says. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. You're going to know, brethren, it's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery where the true church of God is. It's not a mystery where the Bible and the truths of the Bible are being expounded and believed. It's not a mystery at all, brethren. So, again, there are keys to this. I will get into the keys shortly after we have our announcements, but we will have another hymn at this time.